Please sit. Thank you so much. Well, between Barney and the manifestations, you could eat. I heard a lot of things this morning in the manifestations. And I'm still thinking about the ones from last week. I mean, there's one manifestation. They're all so great, but where someone said that if you would come to me and pour your heart out to me, I would show you who you are. Something to that effect. That's a great thing to pray about. And I also heard about God's great love. And I think about God's love all the time, in that the love he has towards us, the love that we are to be rooted and grounded in. And I thought of a few things that the Word talks about, how he has tattooed us on his hands. And meditate on that. Think about that. Consider that. Because he's personifying himself in regards to, you know, giving a human thing that you can look at and you can sense that you go, no one. Have you ever seen anybody with tattoos on their hands? On the palms of their hands? I never have. And we're always before him. The walls are always before him. There's another wonderful truth that, you know, my daughter's back there with my granddaughter, and that little baby nurses from her mother, and there's a bond there that's just ridiculous, right? And yet God says a mother could leave her sucking child, but I'll never leave you. That's just like, what? You know, you got to think about that and meditate on that. Like, this is God trying to, he's impressing upon us his great love for us. You guys have forest fires here? And I used to work in Colorado, and I worked for the Forest Service, and I used to go out on mop-up crews, and we'd go, when the fire was out, we'd go make sure the crew was, the ground was dry or wet, or keep roots from lighting up and copping up somewhere else and make another fire somewhere and so forth. So the ground was charred and black, and you know, you just see burnt rocks and stumps, and you go around with a shovel and you kick things over and you wet everything down. So when I heard this story about this other guy up in the woods doing the same thing, I could relate to it. And he came along on this path and he sees this clump in the path, and figuring it's a rock, he's going to kick it out of the way. And he kicked it, and it was a bird, a mother bird, that had just fried in the fire. But as he kicked the bird over, all these little babies ran out and over the side. Christ took the heat for us. And I always thought about that the first time I heard this. Man, that's just like God is saying. So he's trying to tell us, you know, he loves us so much. We really want to desire and to bring that into our lives, because that's the underpinning. That's the foundation. Not your love for him, but his love for you. Because you can't reciprocate something you haven't received. So I'm always trying to ask God to show me that, you know, because sometimes we think otherwise. You know, we look at things like, I'm just not where I should be, or I haven't done this, I haven't done that. You are more innocent than that child back there. There's another picture where, you know, Jesus Christ is on the cross, on the tree. He's hanging there. He's dislocated. He's bloody. He's the pulp. He's everything you don't want to look at. And God is there with his son, watching him go through this. And what is God seeing? God is seeing every devil, every evil thing, every sickness, every disease, everything that ever could cause you, every doubt, everything that would mess with you is being crucified on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where God says. That's where it went. As far as I'm concerned, that's where it went. And that's where it is. And then he went. And then we got a new, shed all that stuff. We are in Christ. So I'm thinking about these things pretty regularly, you know, and every time I hear something like that that conveys it to me, I try to get that into my heart, because really that's where I want to understand how much I'm loved by God. And then you come into the Word and you read things like, well, go to Romans 5, let's see where I end up. I did say Romans 5, but I start looking at, one night, I guess God just woke me up. I didn't know what was going on. I walked around the house for a while and ended up going to sections of scripture like this where you don't know what to do. You have no plan because you don't know what to do. Something's going on and you're lost. And so you have to go to God. And you're in a trial. You know, I mean, if you're in ministry, you're going to be in trials. It's just the way it is. And so you want to call it a trial, or you want to call it a tribulation, whatever you want to call it, you want to call it. I think the Septuagint not narrows it down to stress. That's what comes out of it all the time, stress. So he says here in Romans 5, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. No problem rejoicing in that. I got no problem rejoicing in that. All the things that we heard in manifestations, the things that were read, that Barney read, the things that we're talking about here, rejoice, right? Rejoice. And then he says, and not only so, but we rejoice in tribulation. Or boast in tribulation. And I go, what? How do I feel the same way about this trial that I'm in than I do when I think about the love that God has towards me? And there's a key word here, which is the next word. It says, knowing that this adversity, this trial, this pressure, this stress works patience. It's the patience piece that we kind of get, sometimes we don't let the patience have its work. And so we don't get the experience, which is the next word. Experience is proof. It's the proof, the evidence, the result. If I know the result, then I can glory in the tribulation because I'm coming to the place where I'm going to have the result. I'm supposed to know that God says, I've got the result for you, but you need to have patience. You need to stay the course with me. You need to, you know, it's a diligent effort that we seek God with. And I started thinking about that, where God is just not saying, okay, you're born again, now you're all the promises are yours and you don't have to do anything. I mean, I think even Joshua, when God told him to be of good courage, be courageous, it's already yours, but you still got to be. You still got to go take it. You still got to do diligence to get up and go and march across and go take those guys. It's already yours. The thing that you're in right now in your life, the thing that you're trying to get past, is already done if you let him do what he's going to do. Let patience have a perfect work. Let it be done. Here's a great, kind of a good example. I mean, examples are limited, but I thought this one I read the other day where somebody said, you want to save $10,000 in a couple of months, okay? So, okay, I have this goal, I want to save $10,000, so what do I do? Oh, I still do everything I did before when I wasn't saving any money, right? Doesn't make sense. So now I probably don't go out to dinner that night, or I buy less of this, or I don't really go out and do this, and I don't get my mocha latte for $10. And that adds up. But you see how you're doing something because you want the result, and then you start to see some money accruing. You know, you're like, oh, I'm doing it. You know, I'm staying with it. And it's paying off. We see that in the physical realm. It's paying off. I can see it paying off. But what about when it comes to a spiritual thing? Here's the thing I'm going through, and God says, I got it paid off, but you need to stay the course with me. You need to do the things that are going to cause me to bring it to pass, cause it to come to pass. what you're doing is you're proving the word of God, you know. You're proving God's faithfulness, not your great believing. It's you're proving God's faithfulness. So, and you start, and then you start to, hey, Vicky, I got $500 already. Now I'm boasting in this thing. See? I'm starting to glory in this thing because it's coming to pass, but I am taking a part in it. I'm just not letting God, okay, God, just make it happen. Pop it into my lap while I'm watching TV. He doesn't work that way. There's a partnership. There's a piece that we do. But you know what? We kind of get, sometimes we get tired. We get discouraged. Someone says, oh, it's you need to spend this money on that. And you start to lose sight. And it gets discouraging and it becomes challenging. So then you, oh, went out to dinner and spent $100. Okay. I'm going to come back to it. I'll start doing it again. And you keep doing it again. So there is an obedience piece to getting deliverance. Let's go to James. James is good. read this James, and it says, and you're familiar with the scripture, James 1, he says, someone go on? Yeah, 1:2. He says, James 1:2, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. There it is again. What? Count it all joy. You add it up, and if it doesn't come out joy, you got the wrong perspective. Do the math. If you don't come out with joy, something's wrong. And it's not wrong with God, it's something's wrong with me. I haven't seen something from God's perspective. I haven't seen what he sees. And what he sees, the goal of that is, well, let's read on. Knowing that, counter all joy, divers temptations, knowing this. Again, there's that word, knowing this. Do you know this? Do you know this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience? Do you know it? You just read this verse and go, well, I'm not there on that one yet. I guess I'll pass, you know, and you just move along. And then you're not getting the deliverance in your life that you're looking for. And you're wondering why it's not coming. You're going, God, why not, why not, why not, why not? You know, being born again is not entitlement to all the promises of God laid in your lap. And we get into this thing, well, why isn't this coming to pass? And God's saying, read my word. And or he'll convict you in the Spirit. Holy Spirit's saying, you know. And he will show you, you know. And I think he was showing me, look, dude, it, you know, he's a rewarder of those who what? Diligently seek him. I heard in manifestations to come to him, to be diligent. And I go, how diligent am I really? When you think about people who are diligent, women who, young girls who get on the tennis route. I mean, they don't even go to school. They're 8 hours on the court. They're diligent. And we throw out a few tongues and go to a fellowship once a week and we wonder why something's not coming to pass in our lives. You know, it's kind of like it's truth, it's confronting, but I need the upgrade. I need answers. I need results. I'm not staying here. I want to come. I want to grow. I want to be more Christ-like. I want to see the results. I want to be walking more powerfully tomorrow than I am today. It's not an event. It's a lifestyle. One breakthrough after the next. Go, 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 go. And God is bringing you to it. And it's a revelation. It's not a corporate thing. God is going to give you a rhema of what you need, a word for you that's going to fit for you. And you're going to go, oh. And he's not going to say the same thing to me that he says to Jeffrey. It's going to fit for me. It's a revelation. It's not academics. Because we're talking about spiritual things. We're talking about supernatural things. We're talking about God working in a spirit, in a Holy Spirit working in your life. And the foundation is, he loves me so much. He loves me so much. I can expect it. He wants me to bring to this place. He says, so let patience have her perfect work. Let it go. Stay it. Stay your head. Imagine the grace of God pouring into you. Don't think about the thing that's not going on. Let the situation be for an advantage, you know. Let God draw the goodness out of a negative situation. Let God unscramble the egg. Let God do the supernatural thing he wants to do. Then it says, so that ye may be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. There's the result, right there in the verse. In that situation, I want to be perfect, I want to be entire, and I don't want for anything. I'm there, I'll have arrived. He's saying, here's how to do it. Here's what's going on. Your part, here's my part. I have the answer. It's there. The land is yours. The health is yours. The finances are yours. The marriage is yours. The car is there. Whatever it is yours. But what are you doing? Are you going to go up and get it? If something gets in your way, you're just going to back down and say, I'm not going to do this anymore? Fear will just, you know, it's like the light in the deer's eyes, you know, it just paralyzes us, you know. And then we don't move in the thing that God wants us to do. And he's always presenting situations that will get us to where we want to go. He has to be. God works in you both to will to do the good pleasure. You have the mind of Christ, and God is putting his thoughts into your mind all the time. All the time. How could it be any other way? Why would it be any other way? And yet we have a tendency to run from the thing that will cause us to grow. Get me out of here. Let me wake up and it be a new day and none of that happened. I've been there many times, you know. It's just the natural man propensity is to avoid the wall, you know. Just, I don't want to get into that. Let my life be simple. You know what? Life is not simple no matter how simple you try to make it. It's like that bowl full of cherries. Remember that Beatles album? The bowl full of cherries is tipped over and the cherries are rolling out. Life is not a bowl full of cherries. We're in a world that is corrupt, it's crooked, it's what it is. We live in it. But there's new rules for us. Kingdom rules. We're not on the same plane as the others who aren't of God. New rules, kingdom rules. The Word of God is a parody all the time. It's just always the opposite of what the world is saying. New rules. But it takes courage to do the Word of God. Because God is saying, I got this thing for you. And the other thing is saying, no, I can't, I can't, I can't, I can't. And God is saying, yes, you can, yes, you can, yes, you can. And then you just say, okay. You know, because you know what? Let's go to 2 Corinthians. Talk about Paul, right? This is a wonderful thing about Paul. So, 2 Corinthians 12. You think about Paul. I mean, Paul was an amazing man. Paul was, he went through a lot of stuff. He got whipped. What is it? Three times or five times? Three times, five, maybe more. Shipwreck, in the deep, all these stoned, bitten by a scorpion at Melita, and so forth. You know, a lot of things happened to Paul. So anyway, Paul has this thorn in the flesh. You remember this record? So, in verse 7 he says, this is 2 Corinthians 12:7. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, so it's pretty clear where it was coming from, to buffet me. You know, let me just digress for a second here. When I look at different things and study different things, I'll read stuff on the computer, I'll read books, I'll listen to people who have great insight. You know, they're all over the place. A lot of people with great insight. But so many times I'll come across this thing I come up against where, and you probably have too, where they're saying that these things that come up against us are sent from God to test us and that kind of thing, to make us humble and that kind of thing. I don't know where you guys are at, but I'll tell you, I don't believe that for a second. I think the Lord Jesus Christ said, the prince of the power of the air cometh and have nothing in me. God does not send. You can't put God and the devil in the same bag. They do not coexist in any way, shape, or form. They are opposites. They do not come together on anything. They don't say, well, let's agree on this. No. There's no agreement. So anything, any adversity, this stuff that comes at us, these trials, these tribulations, this stuff that plagues us, this stuff that's in the back of our mind, the stuff that we can't seem to get past, is not coming from the Heavenly Father. Because He will never leave you. He is that one who will be there when the mother and the child and she leaves. He's the one who's engraving you. You have reason, you have foundation, you have footing, you have everything to, and every reason to believe that God is going to come through to you, for you. So, anyway, just, it's not God. Why would God do so? This just sounds so ridiculous to me, yet I hear it all the time. So anyway, verse 80 says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," three times. He was going to God. Isn't that great? He went to God. How many times do you have something going on in your head and you don't even look and go to God to it? Well, why don't I just take this to God? Why am I messing around, mulling it over, reasoning it out, and God's not having any part of it? Because I won't give Him a part. So Paul went to God. Three times he went to God. And he said that it might depart from me. So there it is again. You know, get me out of here. I can't wait till this is over. You know, I can't. This day will be great when it's done. The mind of man, let's just get this over with, you know, and worry our way through it, and I can't wait till it's over and tomorrow will be, you know, that's what kind of point. Make it go away, I don't want to deal with it. Sometimes we pray these prayers and God has a different answer. A lot of times it's a different answer. It's not the answer that we thought. Sometimes, but a lot of times it's not the answer. So Paul didn't get the answer he thought. God, did God take it away? No. He didn't get that answer. But he got a better answer. And he said, "My grace or my ability is sufficient for you, for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Now listen, my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And Paul, that was the word for Paul. That was a revelation for Paul. That nailed it. That just hit it on the head for him. He got it. He got it. And Paul wasn't a weak man, but God's saying, "You're weak. You don't have what you need. Stop it and let me move. Let me come in. Let my grace come in." So that's what he did. He says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." Weakness is nothing to be embarrassed about or ashamed of. We are weak. We are not sufficient in ourselves. We don't know. If we think we know, we don't know. We don't know. That's okay. Because then Paul goes, "Most gladly, gladly he's going to glory in his infirmity." He's going to have joy while he's going through the thing. Not at just the end. Having joy going through the trial, because you know the end result. My grace is sufficient in your weakness. When you stop working, God starts. If I think I'm going to, because as long as I'm not at my end of my rope, I'm still going to figure out something that I can do to take care of the situation. I will go to great lengths to figure the last, this guy will hear, I'll call him. I haven't talked to him in 10 years. That's how far down the road. You know, you just, whatever, you know, till you get to the place. And I understand the school of hard knocks, but do I have to live, do I have to graduate that way? From upgrade to upgrade? Do I have to do it that way? I mean, the Old Testament is, you know, is for our learning. You know, Israel, like, they were screaming after 3 days crossing the Red Sea. There's no water, murmuring, complaining. It was contagious. It took them, you know, they never got the promise, did they? They never went in. They never got what God had for them. They never got it because they did not obey. They did not say, "Okay, Moses, we remember the Red Sea. What's God got in store for us now?" They didn't do that. And so Paul had a different, he received it. So he goes, "Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmity, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." Therefore, he says, "I take pleasure in infirmity and reproaches and necessities and persecutions, for in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Paul got it. And so I think he just took that thing and ran with it. I think he used that revelation, that one revelation that he got, And I think he ran with that thing. He just, it must have been like a light bulb going off for him. Because he had the expected end. If you know something is coming and you see it and you see it and you see it, you keep looking at it and you're like, I'm just going to walk over and go. I'm just going to keep going and keep going. Because there it is. It's not like there's no hope. And God will give you things to keep you moving if you're looking. It's sort of like progressive revelation. You get a step, you go, okay, I guess I'll do that. And then boom, there's the next thing and there's the next thing. But if I don't take the first thing, and God is saying, no, just move with me, move with me. You're weak. I know the answer. I know it sounds crazy what I'm telling you to do, but do it. Do it. I know that person doesn't need to be forgiven, doesn't deserve to be forgiven, but do it. Do it. You know, these kind of things. And the relationship things are a whole other story. You know, Paul's talking about it. Well, he's talking about a relationship. These are people hanging around, running after him, trying to mess with him. There's a section here I'd like to read, and I think we're going to go to Luke. Actually, there's so many places. Can't go to everything, but Jesus Christ, what? He learned obedience. How? Through the things that he endured. You see, the crisis upgrades us. Let God use, let God use the thing that's against you for good. God can make lemonade out of lemons or another thing. God wants to make good. And we're looking at it like the situation. We're just looking at the situation for the sake of the situation. That's not the situation. That's the senses. That's the carnal. That's your reasoning. And that's not what God is saying to do. God is saying, no, 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 no. Look at me. Look at me. I've got the answer here. Okay, let's go back to Hebrews. I'd like to read a little bit in Hebrews. Just because I think it's worth reading for sure. So many places we could go. Here's my Ephesians. I had a verse here I wanted to look at. Well, yeah, Hebrews 6. A couple of wonderful verses here. In 6:12. That ye be not slothful. Oh, so it is available for me to be slothful. But I go to fellowship every week. I read the Bible. I pray. I speak in tongues. Still slow. That's another thing. Go off on that one. Mature people aren't people. You don't become mature by going to fellowship, by reading your Bible, by taking all the classes, by hanging out with people who are, You know how you get obedience? You get mature by obedience, by doing the word, by doing what God says to do. Just do it, He says, just do it. And all that other stuff is wonderful, but it doesn't mature you. I mean, remember when Paul with the Corinthian church, he says, you should be teaching others that I'm still got to give you milk when you should be eating meat. We should be eating meat. We should be really getting to the meat part of the word. So I'm in 6, right? That what I said? 12. Look here, 12. Be ye not slothful, but followers of them who faith and patience inherit the promises. And then down in, look at 15, it says, and so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. He didn't get the promise and then decide to be patient, be obedient. No, the obedience comes from the promise. So it's not entitlement, like I said. It's not like you can just expect God to do everything for you when you haven't, See, that's the problem with the grace teaching, too much of the grace teaching. Yes, it's grace, but grace enters in. It has to have an open door to enter in. And God wants your heart. He wants your heart. He doesn't care what you know or don't know, but he wants 100% of it. He doesn't want 99%. He wants all of you. You're not yours. You're not yours. You do not own yourself. You gave up that right when you confessed Jesus Christ. Your life is not your own. You're bought with a price. And Jesus Christ was the price. You're not your own. You have a Lord now. You're not the Lord anymore. And God says, now we're doing my way. And it's the best way. It's the only way. While we're here, I think we might look over to 10, Hebrews 10. Another great section here. And verse 35, he says, Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For you have need of patience, that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Kind of an order, isn't it? There's an order to that. Luke, Matthew, Mark, Luke 11. So Paul did the math, didn't he? He counted it all joy because he had the joy while he was in the tribulation. Can you imagine? Is that available for us to have joy? Because we know where we're going. We know we have the end result. It's just a matter of staying in the will of God. You know, it takes some discipline, but discipline is not evil. Discipline is good. It's not that God is punishing us because he says you need to do that. He's saying if you just track with me, a hind deer and the mother deer, remember that section in Psalm? I will take you on the right path. I will keep you where you need to go. Come to me. Did you ever see a woman, an old woman on the farm, and you see the old picture? She's got the seeds in her apron, you know, and all the chickens are scattered out, and she's coming out to feed the chickens, and lo and behold, here comes this big shadow of a hawk. And where do all the chickens go? The mother opens up her wings. We're over the chicken thing again, right? And all the babies come to the mother, and she just crouches down. We come to God. We cleave to God. We don't run and scatter off into our own little thing we think we need to go. We come to God. We cleave to God. He's saying, come on to me. I got you. And I don't care what your thing is. Is anything in your life bigger than God? Isn't it say all things are possible with God? But God will answer in his way in a revelation for you that will fit perfectly. It won't be like you will know. You will go, oh, you will know. And you'll have that breakthrough. Don't we want to break through? I do. Really want to break through. Sometimes I think I've been in the same pocket too long, you know. Need breakthrough, need growth, need maturity. So that I can help somebody else, but also so that I'm blessed and happy and not freaking out, you know. But it's so that we can minister to people. So here in Luke 11, oh, this is awesome. In verse 9, I love this section. And this is just, you know, the Williams has a greater translation than this, but it says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. Yes, yes, yes. Three yeses. There's not like, maybe I'll open it. Maybe for you, but not for you. Depending on how good a day you're having. It's not that way. God is saying, I am faithful. Let me prove my faithfulness to you by you just sticking to your guns. Coming with me, allowing the grace of God to flow in your life, and realizing that you can't do it. You need to cease from your own work so you can enter into my rest. That's what he wants to do. So there's ask, it shall, you know. Seek, you shall find. Knock, shall be opened unto you. There's no question. There's not a question. Is God really going to do what he... That's ridiculous. Is God really going to do this? What are you doing? That's from the enemy. That's not a God question. That's not a faith question. God is going to do it. He's promised by, he swore by his own self, or Abraham, right? What about Abraham? Abraham, Sarah, right? 99 years old, she's 90. The promise was, 25 years before that, you're going to have a baby and da-da-da-da. So they tried with the other thing. That didn't work. Ishmael wasn't the one. And God waits till Abraham is just, there's nothing I got. he says, you know, he knew his body was dead. He considered his body dead. The King James says considered not, but not is not in the Greek. He knew it was dead. He wasn't thinking, yeah, there's a little bit of life left in me and Sarah's going to be able to drop a couple of whatever. It wasn't going to happen. He knew. But God was faithful and God did a miracle and God, they got Isaac, they got a baby. And they'd had nothing to do with it. They had nothing to do with it except they just looked to him. They knew that he was faithful and he would do that which he had promised. That's not anything greater than what we can do. We can do the same thing. You know, he's the father of believing. Well, he's our father. We can do the same thing. We can expect that kind of stuff. Why not? Why wouldn't we? Why wouldn't we? Who's to say anything? Who's going to come against it? You're going to come against God if you do. I'm the one who needs to say, okay, I need to change. I need to say, oh, I haven't been so diligent as I could be. I could be a little more obedient. Obedience is good. Obedience is good. It's not bad. But it's this thing about getting to the end of your rope where you realize I can't do it myself. That's what ushers in the grace. If I'm still doing everything by my own strength, I'm going to get that result. And Jesus Christ said, I do nothing on my own. But I do. But I do. But I do, Jesus. I don't know how you are at, but I can do stuff. I think not. I think not. Let's go to Psalm 107. A lot of places to go, but I thought we might go here. This is a great section of Scripture. I really asked God to allow me to hit the mark today. I labored in prayer quite a bit and was very desirous to represent God to you all today. And I think the reason I think that this subject is so apropos is because I'm sure every one of us is in something right now that they want to get out of. There's the answer. You're not stuck. You think you're stuck, but you're not stuck. But you've been talked out of moving with God, and you've been talking out what God has said he will do. I've done it. And it looks like it couldn't be done. It looks like what I got going on in my life is just too severe for God. Well, yeah. Tell that to the Lord. Everything is done. But see where we need to go. Okay, I got to reconsider this. Consider the birds of the air. Life is more than meat. It's more than raiment. It's exceedingly abundantly above. God is not the God of the difficult. He's the God of the supernatural. He's the God of the impossible. He does impossible stuff. And he should be doing impossible stuff in my life. Because when I wake up in the middle of the night and I don't know what's going on and I have nowhere to go and I go to the Word and I get my answer, I ought to just say, well, praise God. And I'm so blessed. I was so weak that I didn't try to figure anything out for myself. And God led me to his place, to the secret place, to the Holy of Holies, where he has an answer directly for me. God isn't going to give me an answer and then to have me go tell somebody. He'll give you the answer. But you got to be there to listen. You got to spend time with him. That's what the manifestation is. Come unto me. Be with me. Cleave unto me. Those chickens cleave unto the mother. You know. Go to God. Spend the time with him. That's spiritual warfare. That's moving with God. Even though you don't want to do it, you're too busy, do it. Do it. Speak in tongues for 30 minutes for a while. See how you can do that one. That'll be a challenge. That's a challenge. You got to get up and start walking around cleaning or something. But that's the discipline. You start doing that stuff and then it gets easier and easier and easier and easier and you start to see breakthrough. You start to see light. You know, there's a phrase in the Word that says that God is the apple, we are the apple of his eye. And I looked that up one time and it's really the pupil. The pupil. What about your pupil? Your pupil is the only place on your body that's not covered. It's uncovered. It's a hole. And it's very, very sensitive. And we take great lengths to protect our eyes. You know, somebody splashes water in your eye. Oh man, you cover your eye, you wait it out, you go, you exclude yourself from it. Because it's very sensitive. Very sensitive. You protect it. And God says that we are His people. He's very protective of us. He's very sensitive towards us. He's guarding us. He's guarding us. He's watching out. That's how God, He's displaying that love to us. You know? And He doesn't care what you did, what you didn't do, what you're going to do, what you're not going to do. His love is the same forever. Forever, forever. It's not based on what you do or don't do. So, Psalm 107, there's a lot of wonderful stuff. Where's it going to go here? I guess we'll take it up with 15. This is wonderful. 107:15. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men. For He hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. And then it says, fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities are afflicted. Well, that just serves them right. No. No. But sometimes we are in the poop because we put ourselves in the poop. Our own thing that we did, we just did something that was wrong, we got screwed up. That's so what? God doesn't, that's not the thing. God doesn't care about that. It's not about who did what. God loves you no matter what you did to yourself or what somebody did to you. It doesn't matter. So He says, fools. Fools. Their own thing they did. Their own problem they caused. You know, because of their iniquities are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near to the gates of death. When you're getting ready to die, you don't eat. You have no appetite. That's the place these guys are at. You know. That's pretty, that's ready to get it done, right? Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. Did they deserve it? No. Do we deserve anything that we got? No. So why start thinking you deserve it now? Same thing. Oh, the men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with rejoicing. And then it starts talking about these guys on these ships. And He says, and they that go down to the sea in ships that do business in great waters. These see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep. For He commandeth the right, raiseth of the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven and they go down again into the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. You can imagine one of these ships just way down, the wave is way up there. And then they go way up to the top of the wave. I mean, that's like, you know, whew, that would be crazy, right? That's what this is. They reel to and fro, stagger like drunken men, and they're at their wit's end. They're trying to hold on, you know, they're just like drunk guys. They can't even walk. The waves and the water, everything coming over them. They're at their wit's end. They're at the end of the rope. This is it. Then they cry. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. Is that not what we're talking about? Do you cry unto the Lord, really? Do you really think He's going to hear you? Do you really think He's working in the situation that you just think you're in by yourself? Then you've got the wrong equation. It's not counting up for joy. Because God has got this thing. He's got your back. He's working in your situation right now. Let Him go. Let patience have its perfect work. Let it go. Run with Him. Run with Him. Rejoice because the answer is coming. It's yours. He's got it. And it's a better answer than you think. He'll over-answer. This is really the meat and potatoes. And it's not an event, it's a lifestyle. It's a how God wants us to live, you know. How could life with God be boring? How could we be complacent with some with a God like that who says this kind of stuff? Oh, wow. So, 28, they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waters thereof are still, and they are glad. because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. And God wants to bring us to our desired haven. And you know what? You're not unique. You think you got something going on that nobody else would ever even dream of. You're not unique. Everybody's got the same stuff. Darkness is darkness. And deliverance is deliverance. And also, we're a family. And we can encourage each other. Because we know. Because we're human too. I know what you're going through because I went through it. You know. And Jesus Christ went through it. The high priest. So we get to, because God knows your uprisings and your lying down. He knows your ticking heart. He knows your breath. You know, he knows everything about us. And he's just enamored with us. Is that the right word? He's just so passionate toward us. His love is so intense. He's aggressive. He's not passive. There's nothing passive about the crucifixion. There's nothing passive about the Lord hanging on that tree. Nothing passive about the cost. And he says, and I'm not stopping now. I bought you. I'm with you. I'm working for you. I love you with an intense love. Run with me. Run with me, and I'll bring you to your desired haven. Amen. Amen.
Awesome. Ask, seek, and knock. Mm. But yeah, keep on asking.
That's it. That's
keep on seeking. Yeah. Keep on knocking.
Yeah.
That's the thing. We're going to have a few moments here to sort of transition, bring out some card tables, throw up tablecloths and this sort of thing, and enjoy a luncheon together.